Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Howdy.
All right, we're going to dive right into it today. This was an interesting book, came across my desk, something I thought our listeners would be interested in hearing, kind of a different aspect. The book is called Born Haunted, My Lifelong Encounters with the Paranormal. Nate Michael, a real-life experiencer who has dealt with this, is here to talk to us and walk us through his very unusual life. Thank you so much for joining us today, Nate.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
How old were you when strange phenomena began to pop up in your life?
So the strange phenomena occurred since my memory can serve me. Before I can remember, my mother has told me stories about some strange things that happened when I was an infant to her. But for me personally, about 4 to 5 years old is when I can begin to remember those events with the paranormal.
Now, when your mom tells you about these strange stories, how far back does she take them?
All the way to when I was an infant.
And did she have strange experiences in her life prior to your birth?
No, she did not. She did not.
So this isn't like a generational thing where everybody in your family is kind of prone to the supernatural. This really started with you.
I believe so, yes.
What were some of the not the ones that you remember first, but what were some of the mentions that your mom said from your very early age on? What were her recollections?
There was a lot of premonitions, psychic type dreams, if you will. When she would be rocking me to sleep at night, she would fall into a nap as well and have these visions of leaving her body and looking back down onto her body and me. And then she would go on to have strange premonitions, unfortunate ones of things like murder and accidents that would happen, that would later on happen and would be proven to be true.
Now, would these murders and accidents happen to you and your family, or were they a grander scale, things that happened to others around the world?
Grander scale, things that happened, in the same state, maybe a state away. No, not directly to our family.
Okay. And was it only when she was holding you that she would have these premonitions and see these things happen?
They would occur mainly when she would be rocking me to sleep at night or something along those lines, yes.
All right. And did she notice any strange, afflictions to you when this would be taking place? Would you be acting unruly or whiny or anything?
So I've always suffered from insomnia, and both my mother and father said that they had a very hard time getting me to sleep at night. It was very fussy. I believe they refer to it as colicky. But they certainly didn't think anything of it at the time. It was, the early 1980s. So they just thought it was, an infant having a hard time getting to sleep.
All right. And did your parents hear strange things, see strange things around you, or was it more your experiences?
they began to see strange things as well. When I got into the 4 to 5 year old range, the range that I can remember, I started to discuss some of those things, some of the things that I discuss in the book, about a particular entity in my closet. And from then on, they started to see things. I think they may have just tried to justify, rationalize maybe what was going on if they had seen something when I was an infant.
Okay, just trying to declassify it, make it seem like, oh, this is just something that always happens. It's just the wood settling in the house or a breeze or a branch scraping the window. But after it started getting more prevalent, they just couldn't dismiss it that easily?
Correct. When I was about 4 to 5 years old, I had an encounter with an entity that was in my closet. It had always been there. It would frighten me at night, and I claimed that was part of my insomnia and why I would not sleep and why I wouldn't sleep in my room. So that was something that, they noticed.
Take me back for a few seconds. Okay. So this entity in your closet, could you see it or did you just sense that it was there?
No, I could see it. It was a dark mass. I could hear whispers and I would hear my name being called from the closet. It was, I did not want to be in the room. I didn't want to be around the closet. I would actually sleep on the living room floor frequently. It got so bad that my parents took me to the pediatrician and said, hey, he's not sleeping in his room. And, you know, he claims there's an evil spirit in there. So the pediatrician recommended to, place him in his room, shut the door, and continue to reinforce that.
The whispers, you know, was it, now that you can kind of look back at it, think about these moments, were they just like, you know, beckoning? Were they creepy? I mean, was it creepy just because you were a child? What can you really tell me about what was being experienced?
I would often hear my name. I would often hear my name being called to come in the closet, to open the door. Again, it was a dark mass, a very dark shadow.
Did it sound dark? Or was it more like, Nate, come play with us. Nate, come in the closet. Was it something like that, or was it darker?
No, it was much darker. It was a deeper, a very terrifying, you could just sense the evil of it.
And it would beckon you. Was it multiple voices or just one?
It was just one voice.
Okay. And would it correspond with this dark entity? Did you see it morphing into characters, into shapes, into anything that was recognizable, or was it always just this kind of innocuous dark form?
A very dark form that would morph into a snake serpent-like figure that would slither out from underneath the door. And at that point, that's usually when I would run out of my room and get mom or dad, or even just sleep on the floor.
When it slithered, would it actually make noise, like the sound of something moving across your floor or carpet?
I don't recall any noise of a slithering sound now.
But physically, you could see it moving.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Would it start to take form into something, or would you get out of there before that would happen?
I got out of there before that happened.
Okay. I don't blame you. How did you, looking back at that, how the hell do you go to that room every night knowing something is there?
Well, I didn't want to, Dave. I absolutely didn't want to. Again, I'd sleep on the floor. I'd sleep anywhere else. But the pediatrician recommended continually put him back in his room and reinforce that this is his room, his space. He needs to be comfortable with it. He needs to learn to adapt and to try to go to sleep on his own.
And your parents subscribe to that theory as well? Or, you know, were they worried because you were still overreacting so much?
When other experiences happened, I think they began to believe me much more than the pediatrician and his advice.
Yeah. Did they take you to other doctors? Would you speak to a counselor or talk to anybody else about what you were experiencing?
It was 1980s, so, you know, unfortunately at that time, there wasn't a lot of as much mental health and counseling available as there is today. It was a rural area that we lived in, so no, we just saw the one doctor.
All right, and just out of curiosity, you know, were you friends with the kids in the neighborhood as well?
Yes. Yeah, I had a couple friends on the block.
Did any of them ever experience strange phenomena like this?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Nothing you guys ever talked about, at least openly.
No. No, absolutely. It was something I didn't speak about other than to my parents.
And did your parents ever get agitated or angry with you because they thought you were making this up?
No, they were frustrated. Frustrated me being up all night and complaining of this thing in my closet, but they weren't necessarily angry.
Yeah. I gotta believe that's frustrating as hell as a parent to have that kind of thing taking place. And there's nothing you can do to really bring comfort to somebody that you're in charge of and love. Did they ever consider moving your room or sleeping in there with you to see what was going on?
It was a smaller home, but I think it got to the point where if I was okay on the couch, you know, they just let me be on the couch.
Okay. And did you ever reconcile with this thing? Did it ever go away, or did you just avoid the room at all costs and not deal with it?
No, I just didn't deal with it. I never reconciled with it. The one time that I had asked it, what it is, what do you want from me? It specifically said, I'm an evil spirit. So after that, I was done with it. I did not want to communicate with it at all.
It named itself.
Yes, absolutely.
Evil spirit.
Yes.
Jeez. That's really unusual. You would think that it would want to, unless it was feeding off of your fear, if it was enjoying toying with you. Did you only witness it and see it in your room?
Yes, I only saw the entity, the dark mass in my room, again, particularly in my closet.
All right, and it never appeared in the other parts of your house?
It did not appear, but we had some strange things that we believe were correlated with that. There was one event. My mother had come late at night and had looked at the front door with a small glass of window glass paint on top, and she noticed some writing on the inside of the window, as if, you know, when someone gets out of the shower and they write something in the mirror. And she noticed that on the window, and she walked over, and it said an explicit word on there, the B ending in TCH word.
Okay.
It was on the inside of the window pane. So it was just her, my father, and me. And I was young, and I did not do that, and my father didn't do it. So we believe that the quote-unquote evil spirit wrote that on the window.
So it was threatening you guys and trying to go for full force intimidation.
I believe so.
How did that start impacting your adult, you know, parents' relationship? Were they starting to become stressed out by this type of activity as well, or were they just taking it in stride and trying to get through it the best they could?
I think they were just trying to get through it the best they could. You know, you tend to rationalize things and maybe justify things. Oh, maybe it was the wind or, you know, whatever. But after my sister was born, they ended up moving, and I found out later that they couldn't continue to raise us in that environment.
And it didn't affect or impact any of your brothers or sisters?
No, my sister was born shortly after, and it didn't seem to impact her. My mother had some strange dreams about her, my sister, and they moved shortly after her birth.
Oh, really? Can you be a little bit more specific regarding the dreams with your sister?
Yeah, just nightmares about her being drug out of her crib and taken into my closet, and then she would stop screaming. At that point, my mother would realize, you know, something had happened to her daughter in the closet.
Now, as an adult, have you ever decided to go back to that house and see if anybody living there has dealt with the same thing?
No, I have not. And I don't believe, I believe the home may have been remodeled and possibly demolished and renovated. So I have not been back, and I don't know that I want to.
Are you afraid that might attract it to you again?
Absolutely. And I have a young daughter myself, and I don't want to put her into that position.
Oh, well, having a daughter, does she ever have any strange experiences and things happen that make you worry that this, I guess, curse might be passed down to her?
Absolutely. She claims she has nightmares frequently, and so I try to address that and walk her through some things and try to help her and show her that not to be afraid and possibly what they could be.
And what do you explain to her?
Simply don't be afraid, and you need to show that you are not afraid in your dream and tell it to leave and to get out. And we do a lot of, the white light thinking and bringing the white light over us and all that after we've had a nightmare, to visualize the white light to cleanse us of any negativity. So that's one thing we do with dreams.
Does that seem to work well for her?
Yes, it does.
Good.
Yes, it does. After she has those episodes and we do that, then she seems to settle down for a few weeks.
Okay. Now, obviously that was at the beginning for you. And yes, you moved out of that home. Would the paranormal activity end after you moved out of that house?
No, it did not. It continued when we moved into the next home, but I don't believe by the same paranormal entity. I believe these were different entities.
Really? So you think you're just open to all this energy? What type of activity began and how quickly once you moved into the new place?
When we moved into the new place, pretty much right away, I had began speaking to imaginary friends. I believe they were real. I still do. They were friendly. There was three of them. It's almost a running joke in our family today, about my imaginary friends. And so that was right off the bat, right from moving into that home.
And did it, stay for a long period of time through your entire time there, or would it come and go?
It stayed during our entire time. It actually intensified beyond just the imaginary friends that I was seeing. And again, the whole family was affected. And at one point we called in a pastor to do a blessing.
All right. Talk to me about that. Getting a pastor to come in, was he reluctant to do something like that? Did he believe that a house could be haunted or spirits could impact or affect somebody like that?
So when we first contacted different congregations, they were extremely reluctant, extremely. Most of them said that this just simply doesn't exist, or that it's something we've done, or, that we need to go to their specific church and whatnot. But the pastor that we had got out, he stated that he was almost stepping outside of his church because they didn't technically believe in the paranormal, but he himself had experiences. Him and his wife did, and they wanted to help us. And they knew our calls for help were genuine.
Well, that's good. All right, so you found a guy who was willing to listen. And was this the first clergy that you had reached out to, or was this, the third or fourth or fifth person that finally heard you and came to help?
It was beyond the fourth or fifth. We had reached out to several, and again, they just said that paranormal doesn't exist, or something that we had done to attract this, or.
Yeah, of course, it has to be your fault.
Right, exactly.
God, how ridiculous is that? So with this pastor being willing to believe you and coming in, what do you remember when he came to do this blessing and try to shield the family? What was that like?
It was a powerful moment. Yeah, I do remember it. He talked to each one of us family members individually. He sat us down, explained some things to us, asked us some questions, and then gave us some advice on what to do if a thing, an entity told us to do something negative or harmful. And then he blessed the home, going room to room, sprinkling holy water and saying prayer. And then at the end, we joined as a family, and we all said a prayer together, and we talked about the importance of love and spreading love, and how that can deter anything that may be negative.
And did that seem to bring some peace and quiet, or did it fire things up more?
No, the activity quieted down. There was definitely activity that continued, but it wasn't as intense.
And what type of activity did continue?
Things like doors closing, footsteps. A frequent thing was having our toilet paper would be completely unrolled and then piled up very neatly, folded up neatly at the base of the toilet, almost nightly. But that continued, doors closing, really? Things like that.
So it was an anal retentive ghost?
Exactly, yes.
So it wasn't anything terrifying, it was just bizarre.
There was a few incidences that I had that to me were terrifying. I don't know if it was because I was a little bit younger. So, you know, maybe at that time it was just scarier than what it would be today for me, but.
Right. And do you think a lot of the fright factor came from just the fact that you were a kid, and had it happened to you as an adult, it wouldn't have been something as terrifying?
I do believe part of it is, yes. The second home that we're talking about here, I do believe that being a child, it definitely impacted how frightful that those events were. The first home, I mean, that was just outright terrifying.
And it at the end of it, you were in that first home for how long?
We were in there for about 5 years.
And the second home?
We were in there for approximately 3 years.
3 years. And the activity was pretty much all throughout.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. All right. Now, after that house, you know, did it seem to slow down for you, or was this just the beginning?
So after that house, we moved shortly after the pastor's visit, actually. The parents had always wanted to build their own home. So they did that. We moved. And the activity ceased for nearly 10 years, I mean, until after high school.
And was there any catalyst that you feel was there that kind of sparked it and began it again?
Yeah, so when my wife, when we had first moved in together and we were dating, we were boyfriend and girlfriend, we were looking for an apartment or rental home, and we were having a hard time. But we came across one in the historic district of our city, and it was kind of a last option, but it looked like all the pictures online, and it was in our budget. When we moved in there, it kind of sparked everything back up again.
Now, had you been open with your wife about, or your girlfriend at the time, about the experiences you had had, or did you bury it and just try to keep it quiet?
I buried it from her. I buried it from everyone. I think it was something that my family kind of buried as well. You know, you don't want to be, no one wants to be made fun of or mocked or ridiculed. So it was something we had just, you know, it had happened and we were over it and we let it go. And I certainly didn't want to tell her, and I was deeply in love, still am. I didn't want to scare her off with telling her these really strange experiences I've had throughout my life.
Well, that's understandable. But at some point, it makes itself known whether you want it to or not.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Well, let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Born Haunted, My Lifelong Encounters with the Paranormal. Nate Michael continues his strange journey with us right here on Darkness Radio. We are back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. We've got a link up for this book, Born Haunted, My Lifelong Encounters with the Paranormal. You can find it on today's program. Click it. Remember to rate it, review it, talk about it, share it with others, but make sure that you do rate and review. It does help authors and all of our guests so that they get more profile, more people can find their books and share the story as well. And make sure that you rate and review this program on whatever format you listen to so that it also gets higher up and people learn about the program through word of mouth or through the press you give us by doing the rating and reviewing for Darkness Radio. Let's dive back in now, Nate. You're an adult, you're dating, you start to have this activity take place. What's your initial thoughts? Are you like, oh God, not again?
At first I thought, well, you know, you try to rationalize and justify it being adult now. I'm like, well, it can't be, you know, it certainly couldn't be this, but it was always in the back of my mind, you know, oh shoot, it's back.
And as you're looking at this, are you trying to figure out how to broach the subject with the love of your life to let her know this is going on and this is something that isn't new to you?
Yeah. So actually, she was the one that brought it up. She brought it up at a family gathering to my mother. She had mentioned that we were experiencing some odd things, footsteps, doors closing, scratching coming from within the walls. And of course, right away, my mom was like, well, let me tell you about something.
Oh, geez. How did you react to that? Here you've kind of kept this secret and now mom's blowing the proverbial whistle on you.
I mean, I think I literally, what's the term, face palm, you know, I put my hand in my face and just shook my head.
All right. And how did she respond once your truth had been revealed?
She took it very well. And she looked at me and she said, I know our home is haunted. I know where we live is haunted.
Was she, I don't want to say fine with it, but I mean, was she accepting of your past with this strange phenomena? Did it excite her? And, because there's so many people that get really jazzed about paranormal activity. What was her initial reactions like?
So she originally is a skeptic. But after hearing my stories and experiencing those events for herself, she's obviously a believer now.
Well, and obviously she was a believer in the house because weird stuff was starting to take place.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. So does it begin to amp up then again for you as an adult? And what's kind of the catalyst for that?
It did. So we would hear a lot of scratching coming from the walls, and we would contact the landlord. As soon as the landlord would pull in the driveway, the scratching would just come to a complete stop. And he even told us one time, you know, you guys are great tenants. We did upkeep on the home. He said, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't believe you. And from there, it just continued to intensify with items going missing. And then
would the landlord ever hear or witness any of the strange phenomena at all?
No, not to my knowledge. You know, he would say, well, maybe, it was a branch blowing up against the house or something. He could never find an explanation. And
did you ever ask him if anybody had died in the place?
Not at the time. No. After some time and as more events and more intense events occurred, I began to do my own research.
Oh, okay. And yeah. What did you uncover?
The land that the home was built on is part of it was originally a fort in the 1700s, specifically where the home is at. That would have been the section of the fort where they would have hung Indians, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So it would have been a place of brutality to the Native American settlers and population.
Absolutely. I believe the exact words from the historical map I referenced was Indian hanging grounds.
Oh my God.
Terrible. So absolutely horrible.
What do you do with that knowledge?
I became obsessed with the house. I started to research and research more and go to the library, and I began spending a lot of time online and digging up any piece of information I could and any fact I could on the home, the land, and the area. Yeah, I was becoming obsessed.
How was that impacting your relationship with your girlfriend, or were you married at this time?
We were not married yet. I believe we were about engaged then. It was poor. It was negatively impacting our relationship. We were fighting often. There was just a lot of strife between us. And I began to drink a lot of alcohol.
Why? Why did you feel the alcohol was the way to go? Was there something specific, or do you feel like something was influencing you to do that?
I really felt something was influencing me. I really do. Just being pulled to the fridge to grab a beer or go to the cabinet for another kind of hard drink, you know. I just felt compelled to do it.
Were you dealing with depression or anxiety at that time? Something that would have normally led people to seek solace in a glass of spirits?
I was dealing with insomnia, but that's something I'd always dealt with my entire life, and I still do. But it was just totally just a random compulsion to drink, and I don't drink much anymore, so.
And this compulsion, as you were drinking, I know that we have medium friends and people that have had paranormal experiences drink to kind of quell it, quiet it down. Some it works, some it amplifies, and it becomes worse. What was your experience?
I'm so glad you brought that up, Dave, because I think that deep down inside of me, I may have been drinking to quiet it and to maybe forget about these events that are going on. But personally, I do know, for me anyways, if I have a few libations, then it just totally brings out, you know, any little bit of psychicness, if you will, that I may have.
And by having that unleash, would others notice strange phenomena taking place around you when you were in those like low instances?
Mainly my wife. Well, at the time she was fiance, girlfriend. She would notice things that, you know, again, doors slamming. And I had an event where I believe I was possessed in the basement of that home.
Whoa. All right. Well, take us to that. Was this something that was a slow, steady progression, or was it one day you're down in the basement doing laundry, the next day it's, blah, 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 you know, I mean, how did that happen?
No, I would say it was more of a slow, steady progression. Again, I was becoming obsessed with the home, and finding out a few different truths about it and some other dark facts about it. And as I became more obsessed with the house and staying up and researching it and drinking alcohol, one night I went downstairs looking for a drink, which is not where I had normally kept my drink. So it was odd to go down there in the first place, but I went down there and I totally blacked out. And, my wife at the time, girlfriend, came home and told me what had happened, what she had found.
And what was that?
She came home. The house was completely dark, silent. She went down to the basement where she found me sitting cross-legged with a candle. And, you know, she asked, you know, "Hun, what are you doing? And you're freaking me out. What's going on here?" And when I looked up to her, she said she could tell that it wasn't me. My face was contorted. My complexion was off. And then she asked, "Who the hell are you?" And out of my mouth, in a deep voice that clearly was not mine, it said that not to worry about me, and that its name was Evil, and it is Destruction.
And that voice came out calling itself Evil to her. How did your wife react? I mean, that's got to be a terrifying moment.
She was absolutely terrified, but she's an extremely strong, strong woman. And her thought was for my safety and not of hers, and not of running out of the house. She wanted to be sure I was safe. So, I mean, I couldn't thank her enough for that. But obviously it scared her. I mean, it scared the hell out of her. And she knew right then we had to do something. I knew as well.
How did he, but how did you come out of that then?
I woke up, it felt like I had woke up out of a nap or a dream, you know. I was a few hours later and I just kind of came to, and she was standing over me, and I saw, you know, I'd fallen asleep. I'm sorry. And she told me what happened and said, no, you were possessed.
Really? So she had no doubt in her mind what happened to you. What do you do with that knowledge now? Suddenly it's influenced you in such a deep way that it's actually taken you over. You've got to start worrying about your own safety and that of the woman that you love.
Absolutely. So that's when we contacted the landlord and we told him we are done. We have to move out. No matter what that means, if it's breaking the lease or whatever, we have to.
And how did he respond to that? I mean, there's usually not an exorcism or possession clause in most rental agreements.
Exactly. So he wasn't too excited. Obviously there goes some of his income, and he would have to charge us a fee and so on and so forth. But we got out of that house. We got out of the lease. So,
and once you did that, did you notice an immediate change in your demeanor and in your life?
Yes, absolutely. When we moved out of there, it was just like a weight had lifted off. The relationship was so much better and things were just different. It was just like the fog had cleared.
It was that quick of a response for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
Now, you know, with that, when you look back at that moment, do you have any sense to who or what this thing was? Was it human, a ghost trying to scare you two off? Was it something truly demonic? Or do you believe it was an elemental or earth spirit that the Native Americans might have employed to try to protect them and their land?
So my personal feelings and the feelings I got in that home and with that situation and those experiences, and again, it correlates with the research of the Native American brutality that occurred to them. There was also a murder that occurred in the home we were renting. A very unfortunate murder where four family members were shot. And with that, I think that maybe from all that negativity, something manifested out of that, something dark. And I don't know if you would call it demonic. I don't know if you would call it truly elemental, but I believe it's something that manifested through the negativity and just the brutality of humans between each other.
Or I'm just curious if you considered this, was it the evil that created that murder, suicide? Is it that influenced the people there? You were possessed. Could that have happened to somebody else there?
I believe so. I absolutely believe so. The murder that I referenced that took place at that home, it was totally uncalled for, and it was just sudden, and a family member had shot four of their family members for no apparent reason. So I do believe that other folks and maybe folks in that direct area would be influenced by such a dark force.
In reading about this and examining that case about the murder that took place there, what do you feel, you know, was there any background violence in that family, any strange aspect that might have predated them living there, or did it really only seem to happen once they were there?
According to my research, it only happened when they were there. the gentleman that committed the act began to isolate himself a lot in the home, became very distant from family members, and then one day, for no reason, he committed his horrendous act.
Do you think if you would have stayed in that home, that might have been your eventual outcome?
Absolutely. I feel that it would have got me one way or another, whether it have been through the alcohol that I was drinking, or through a direct attack from the entity itself. Absolutely. I believe it would have been my demise.
That would have been it. Do you think you would have ended up violently ending things with your wife as well?
I surely hope that wouldn't happen, but part of me wonders if that would have. And that is definitely a factor, you know, that driving force of getting out of that home, because I don't want it to get to that point. I loved her. I love her too much to let that happen.
Right. Ooh, boy, that's just, that's really terrifying. That when you start getting into that aspect of it, it's heartbreaking. And you're lucky to have gotten out the way you had before things went horribly south. And it's good that you both recognized that issue as well.
Yes, yes.
Now, you get out of there, things start to subside for you. What is life like after that? Does it pick up again somewhere new?
So when we first moved out of there, actually on moving day, when we were leaving, I looked back at the house and I could see a figure standing in the window, and I couldn't put the pedal to the floor fast enough. It kind of continued when we moved into our current home, more so with dreams. I had a lot of dreams referencing that home, and I still do today. We'll have the occasional dream of that home, and it's often inviting me back. I'm standing outside the home, and a porch light comes on, and the door opens, and it's like it's inviting me in.
Now, you're married. Do you have, you said you have children.
Yes.
Do they ever relate stories of a house that they've never been to and anything strange to them coming through dreams?
So yes, I'm married. I have one kid. But no, she does not, she doesn't talk about any home or anything like that coming to her through the dreams.
All right. Well, that's good. And did you do a lot of research on the location that you live now before you moved in to make sure that you weren't just going straight out of the frying pan and into the fire?
So, yes, absolutely we did. So we often joke, my wife and I joke, if we ever move, we have to do a full workup on the house, the land, everything about it. We have to know if it's haunted before we go there.
Right. Well, but, you know, people are not always very forthcoming with that kind of information.
Exactly.
Were you concerned that that was going to happen to you?
Yes, it was definitely a big fear that the next home we would move into would just be the same exact thing. But luckily that didn't happen.
And do you sense spirits when you go to other locations? Or, you know, thankfully they're not in your home, but do they bother you when you're at a museum, or you're at, you know, an old store or an old house?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So my professional background is in healthcare. I have a license in medication administration. So I've had the opportunity to be by many folks' bedside as they are actively passing into the next life and dying. So yeah, I definitely can feel spirits, entities around. A good example where my wife works, it's a bar, it's an old location. And every time I go in there, as soon as I walk in the door, I start crying. And I'm not much of a crier. So it's really kind of odd. So I'm like, I hate going into her work. So I gotta get the crying out of the way.
Yeah. Well, is it just you're picking up on the overwhelming sadness of the deaths that have taken place there? What do you attribute that to?
I think it's a death that occurred there at that location, that the soul maybe didn't get some closure on some things. So there's some sadness there. And I do feel that's what I'm picking up on. Once I get that out of the way, and work through that, then I'm fine and I can have a good time and we can enjoy ourselves there.
If you don't mind, let's visit a little bit about your work and being there for people when they're transitioning, crossing over. Mm-hmm. What are those experiences like for you?
It's really changed my life and my belief system. It's hard to put into words that moment when someone crosses over to the other side. I personally believe in rebirth. And oftentimes, prior to death, folks claim hallucinations of loved ones long deceased. You know, they'll see a wife or a mother, a father that passed away many years ago. And as they're actively dying, if they can speak, they often talk about seeing that person and going to them.
Do you ever sense those people there with them before they even tell you?
You can definitely, I get a feeling in the patient's room that there's just someone else. It's never a bad feeling though. It's always overwhelmingly positive and love. It's a place you almost want to be.
Does this change your perception on death then and life and what it all means?
Absolutely. It's changed my entire religious philosophy and the things that I believe in and what I believe happens to us after we die.
What do you believe now? And how does it differ from how you felt maybe 10, 15 years ago?
So 10, 15 years ago, I mean, we grew up in modern Christian. We didn't attend much church, to be honest, but we did go to some Bible school events and went on holidays and things like that. But after having all these experiences and then compounded with working in the medical field and witnessing the death and the crossing over of the soul, I personally believe it can be almost explained scientifically, and that's with energy. You know, we are energy, and energy can never be created, nor can it be destroyed. It's simply transferred. So I believe that soul, our energy, is being rebirthed and put into another body or another form or whatever it may be.
All right. And does that bring you comfort then, knowing that we don't ever really end?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We continue on and do what is in our mission to complete.
Now, being at the bedside of people that are crossing over, you said that there's been moments when they're merrily reunited with loved ones. Has there ever been an instance that was less than positive, like whoever was about to expire was facing something much darker or more frightening?
I've never witnessed that myself. No, every time a patient had passed over and I was present, it always was positive. There's always that sadness in the air of having a loved one, a friend, a family member. In the case of, you know, a healthcare worker and the patient, you work with them for some time, so it's sad to see them go. So there might be that sadness in the air, but there's always this underlying positive to it.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that. I give a lot of credit to people like you that can work in that environment, be around death and not have it influence you in a negative way or be bummed out by it, because that's something you know, I guess it's in the way you look at it and interpret it as well. You're there helping. And maybe if I was in that position, I would feel different about it. But just, you know, being an outsider looking in, that sounds like it would really be something I'd be afraid would drag me down after a while. Do you ever have that concern?
I did at first. When I first got into healthcare, it did bother me. And to give you a really cool experience I had, I was taking care of an elderly lady, and she'd always wanted to meet my daughter. She wanted to meet my daughter. Well, unfortunately, she passed away. And it wasn't too long after she passed away, I was kind of struggling with that, you know, and it was sad, and we had grown close, and all of a sudden I turn in my kitchen and there's a giant pin, like one of those old pins that would pin up a diaper or something from way back when, and it's just a big old pin that we do not have in our house. And I'm staring at it, and I turn to my wife and I say, "Did you put that there?" And she said, "No, I didn't." And I said, "Well, then that has to be Phyllis." So it is a struggle at first, but that experience really opened my eyes to don't let it bother you. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess. Being in your situation, it's kind of strange, right? Knowing that you have spent a lifetime being haunted, then choose to be in a life that surrounds you with death. You know, that almost seems to kind of be counterintuitive to how most people would want to react. They'd want to get away from that.
It does seem counterintuitive, but it's really what I enjoy. I guess I really find comfort in helping others and being with them during their time of need.
Well, again, I give you a lot of credit for doing that. What do you want to tell people that may be going through a life of hauntings as well, that might feel like they're at the end of their rope, or maybe they don't have somebody that's listening to them?
If you don't have someone that's listening, I'm here for you. I'm listening for you. Do not be afraid to talk about it. Do not be afraid to speak out. Do not be afraid to seek help. You are not going crazy. What you are witnessing may be very real, and it's at least real to you in your reality.
What do you hope people take away from your book and your real life experiences?
I hope that they embrace the paranormal a little more and learn to not, those who are skeptical or maybe more skeptical, learn to, again, realize that this is somebody else's reality. They feel they're experiencing these hauntings or whatever it may be, whether they are or not. So not to judge those folks and those that are experiencing hauntings, that there's others out there. There's so many people out there. I've had several close friends reach out to me after my book was published and say, "Hey, I've actually had experiences and I never told you." So there's tons of folks out there that have had experiences. You are not the only one. And it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to seek help. And there is folks out there that will help you. And I would be happy to listen and provide any advice to those who are currently experiencing phenomena and are at their wit's end with it.
Now, aside from the spiritual, have you personally had any other strange experiences? Cryptids, aliens, UFOs, any other things that seem to tie into your abilities and sensitivities?
I believe I've spotted UFOs a couple times. Now, I could not confirm that. It was just some strange, you know, lights in the sky type thing, and then an object that had shot up into the sky and then split into two and then just disappeared. But nothing that I could confirm in regards to that. And other cryptids or anything, no, I have not.
Have you found a way to protect yourself now more so that you're not as open, you're not as vulnerable?
Yeah. So again, this has changed my religious views and my spiritual views So I find a lot of comfort in that. And I found some techniques, again, like I mentioned, with the white light and envisioning that and the positive and a lot of meditation and things like that. I find that that protects me and it grounds me. And if I'm sensing something and I don't want to, then I can envision that white light and just ask it to please go away. You're not needed.
And you feel that that's helped to balance your life and supply you with the security and comfort you need for you and your family.
Yes, absolutely. While still being able to, when I want to access those abilities and maybe some of those psychic, if you will, features.
Does your wife have any paranormal experiences still taking place?
Not currently. No, she does not. Other than the occasional odd footstep or maybe a whisper at her work where I had mentioned is an old building. So other than that, no.
All right. Yeah, I was just curious if that's something that kind of, you know, molds over onto others. Well, we wish you all the luck in the world to stay safe and for your family to stay safe as well, to hopefully, you know, the worst is behind you. Do you ever look over or feel like you're always going to kind of be looking over your shoulder, afraid of that next shoe to drop, that next malevolent spirit to make itself known?
Yeah, I mean, I think that fear is always there in the back of my mind. But on the same hand, you know, I have my wife. We've been through this together, and we know that these things, they're out there. They're not going to go away. And if they want to make themselves known, they will do it. So I feel, are more ready to deal with that should it arise again.
Well, please protect yourselves. Be careful. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing your unique perspective. Born Haunted, My Lifelong Encounters with the Paranormal. Nate Michael, our guest. We have a link up to that book in today's program guide, so you can find it and rate and review the book as well. And if you have guests and topics, things that you'd like to hear on the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can email me, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. And if you do have contact information for the authors, lecturers, documentarians, experiencers that you'd like to hear on the show, and you can forward that to me as well, make it a little bit easier to locate them. We always appreciate your input. We get some of the greatest guests on the show from your suggestions. So please be a part of the program and help us out. Find great guests that we can share with the rest of the world. Email them to me, dave@darknessradio.com. And don't forget, we also want to hear your stories of the strange and supernatural. You can call our Voices from Beyond voicemail at 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us your paranormal encounters. If you have had a scary, funny, heartwarming, bizarre, unusual experience, out of body, maybe ghosts, UFOs, cryptid creatures, or other strange beings that maybe you've not heard anybody else talk about, but you have had that experience, we want to hear from you. You can email your stories to me at dave@darknessradio.com, or you can call us and, like I said, leave a voicemail. You have 3 minutes to do so. If your story is longer than 3 minutes, just call right back and pick up where you left off. Tim will connect those stories into one seamless tale that we'll share on an upcoming episode of Darkness Radio. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. You've been listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.